as the mountain curves. He smiles. There goes my life. There goes my future. Clothes, 15 pairs of shoes, and his American Express. He checked the oil, slammed the hood, said you're good to go. She hugged them both and headed off to the West Coast. And he cried, there goes my life. There goes my future, my everything. I love you, baby, goodbye. There goes my life. There goes my life.
WIRI Nakusa. The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
WIRI 105.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad track. I got a table or two way in the back where I sit alone and think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. Now if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely. Go watch your broken dreams dancing in out of the beams of a neon moon. I think of two young lovers running wild and free. I close my eyes and sometimes see you in the shadows of this smoke-filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied, telling my poor heart you'll come back someday. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely. So watch your broken dreams dancing out of the dreams of a neon moon. Words of
every sad song seems to say what I think, and it's hurt inside of me. Ain't never gonna end. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon.
People say I got a drinking problem. black top down, sitting in the drive, but you wouldn't get out. The dogs were all barking and wagging around, and I just laughed and said, you all get in. She had on a new dress and she curled her hair. She was looking too good not to go somewhere. Said, what you wanna do, baby, I don't care. We can go to the show, we can stay right here, and I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We can go slow or make it go faster, down through the woods and out to the pasture. Long as I'm with you, it really don't matter. Climb up in my lap and drive if you want to. Girl, you know you got me to hold on to. We can go to town, but baby, if you'd rather, I'll take you for a ride on my big green tractor. Said we can fire it up and I can show you around. Sit up on a hill and watch the sun go down. When the fireflies are dancing and the moon comes out, we can turn on the lights and head back to the house. Or we can take another ride on my big green tractor. We can go slow or make it go faster, down through the woods and out to the pasture. Long as I'm with you, it really don't matter. Climb up in my lap and drive if you want to. Girl, you know you got me to hold on to. We can go to town, but baby, if you'd rather, I'll take you for a ride on my big green tractor. And just let me dust off the seat. I'll put your pretty little arms around me.
All said. it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. We'll see the other side, the pain will wash away in a holy water tide, and we all gonna be alright. It's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. I'm not okay, but it's all gonna be alright.
Keeping it country in the heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
As children grow to be teenagers, there are often significant changes in the way parents relate to their teens. An expert says that good communication is essential, as well as proper management of smartphones and social media.
We're parenting for the long haul. We want connection with our kids for life, right? We love these people, which means we have to let them go.
Then, are moderate amounts of alcoholic drinks good for your health or not? Research into the health effects of wine and beer may have fundamental flaws.
There's been a godsend for the beer industry and the wine industry, studies appearing to show that alcohol is good for you, and they try to encourage scientists in lots of ways.
Those two interviews and more are ahead on this week's InfoTrek. The show begins right after this.
Right now at Wendy's, you can get a small Frosty for a buck. And literally everyone is going. The car behind you, going to get a dollar Frosty. The car ahead of you, already had one, going for a second. The person who cut you off earlier, you guessed it, dollar Frosty. Maybe it's all a sign for you to go get one. Just don't cut anyone off. No one likes that person. The iconic Frosty for a buck, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Not valid in a combo. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, California, and via third-party delivery.
Ugh, kitchen ants, runaway roaches, a spider! Relax, just use Zevo. Zevo bug sprays use essential oils to eliminate those pests and up to 20 household insects. Plus, Zevo is safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Just spritz the bugs and wipe them away. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Getting behind the wheel after drinking could change your world. Bobby here had a great time at the party and thought he was good to drive home. Now, Bobby's facing jail time, an upset wife, disappointed parents, and up to a $10,000 fine. It only takes one bad decision to change your world forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Learn more at NHTSA.gov. That's NHTSA.gov. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
InfoTrek, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Parents of teenagers will readily admit that the teen years can be challenging times for the entire family. And every generation has different stress points, such as today's social media and smartphones. Here with the story, InfoTrek's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Amy Betters-Midvet is a mother of five and the author of You'll Make It and They Will Too, Everything No One Talks About When You're Parenting Teens. Amy, I don't think any parent feels prepared for those teenage years, but what is the biggest mistake that you see parents of teens typically making?
Oh, goodness. I think it is just that, like thinking it's not going to happen to you. I very much went into hearing stories about people parenting teens and looked at my own little kids and thought, oh, not these kids, right? That's not going to happen here. And I was just totally wrong. It's a phase of life that's coming for all parents. And so really just trying to think about how you might handle it if you're child does become a teenager and does some of the things you're hearing that teenagers sometimes do.
For parents of younger kids or tweens, what are some of the biggest changes that parents can expect as their children transition into teenagers?
Some of the biggest things that we have seen with all five of our kids without fail are a gradual pulling apart from you. So they maybe wanted to spend all their time with you or sit by you or be with you all the time. And suddenly that's not the thing. They don't want or maybe aren't seeking out that same degree of time with you. A need for privacy that suddenly comes seemingly out of nowhere where they do want to be not only not with you, but very strategically either with friends or oftentimes on their own. They have some things that are starting to happen in their brains they're trying to figure out, and they do need time independent of really anybody to process some of those things. One of the biggest things we're seeing right now with our newly minted 13-year-old, our fifth child, is almost a pushing back on things that we say and do, whereas before it was very agreeable. And now we're just getting a little bit more pushback when we suggest things. We're clearly not as smart or as wonderful as we were before. Bummer.
Exactly. So communication obviously is important. What sort of tips can you offer for communicating with your teenager?
Keeping your communication to when they are ready to be communicated with is a very, very big one. I talk in the book about waiting until the door is open. Sometimes that's the physical door to their space, and often it's just the metaphorical door. Like, they're ready to listen to you. Sometimes I would tend to go in, I had some really smart, wise advice, and I felt I needed to give it immediately. And the door was just shut. They were not listening. They were waiting for me to be done talking so they could actually walk away. So wait until they're receptive and ready to listen to you is one of the biggest ones. Asking them to let you know when that is. Like, I really have some things I want to talk to you about, but can you let me know when you're ready to hear it? Being respectful of that time for them can be a way that you really can get them to buy into actually listening to you. Another thing that we found to be super useful, even though technology tends to sometimes be the devil when it comes to teenagers, is using technology to communicate with them, text them, have a funny meme thread going back and forth that then you can kind of jump on to ask them something serious. Or sometimes they'll come to you with something over their phone that they maybe aren't ready to talk to you face to face, but they're able to communicate with you through that device, which is really amazing.
Well, you brought up cell phones and social media, so let's go there. What advice do you have in terms of managing that? Because it can easily overtake a young person in so many ways.
It absolutely can. And for that reason, our youngest, this is the one area our youngest child has more rules than our older kids did. And it really comes from them. Like, I'm not interested in managing their social media use. And if I have to manage it a lot, it probably means they're not ready for it. So we just don't give it. So our youngest has no social media, no YouTube, no ability to actually even search the interwebs on their telephone at all. They have a phone. They can use it for calling and texting and apps that we approve. And that's it. So don't give it to them too early. And I think a lot of times we give in as parents way too early because we feel like everybody has it. And that's everybody has it because our 13-year-olds are pressuring us as parents. That's just never a good spot to make our decisions. And really, our older kids have been like the canary in the mine, right? Like, don't do it, mom. This is the thing not to do that we wish we would have had some more boundaries. So put those boundaries around them until they're ready to handle it. So you don't have to be monitoring a ton of things. And then gradually, as you see your child is ready for different pieces, start slow, give them this thing or that thing, and then together look through that and really help them understand their own behavior. I have one child who takes all of her socials off all the time because she has really learned by us walking alongside her when it's getting to be a bad scene and she needs to step back. Sometimes we've had to go in and say, okay, we're just going to shut this whole thing down because we know we've made a mistake and we've gone too far too fast. So it's different for every child. I would say hold out as long as you can. Try not to have to be monitoring everything and try to give them the tools that they need to really be able to reflect on how's it going for me and where do I need to step back.
One of your chapters is called Teenagers in Church. Church attendance in America has plummeted in recent decades. So why do you see involvement in a church or other religious organization as so important for teens? And what's your advice for parents?
I really feel that this can bring our kids a really big sense of community. And in our family, faith happens to be a really important thing. And we attend church together as a family on Sundays as something, one of the things we do together. It's really important, first and foremost, to be sure that you are choosing a church where your kids feel comfortable and affirmed and welcome. So that's step one. And that this can be a lovely community. But we also cannot just force our kids to have a faith or force our kids to be feeling like they're in this community. So for us, we have church attendance until you are an adult in the church. And for us, that means getting confirmed. It's different for everybody. And at that point, our kids are able to go ahead and choose whether or not they want to attend with us. So giving them that freedom, giving them that structure early on to be able to maybe feel like this is a great group of people that's here for me. And this relationship with God is something that can support me in my life. And instilling that the best we can, and then letting them have the freedom to come back and choose that for themselves. So that's looked different. We've got three kids launched in that department here, and it looks very different for all three of them. And I just hope, you know, some of them still choose to come often, some periodically, some not at all. And that's okay, because I really trust that they're going to find that for themselves with the boundaries and the, you know, the initial structure that we've kind of have hopefully laid that groundwork in for them.
Amy, as a final thought, this is something I think probably every parent of a teenager can relate to. How can parents balance the need to let go with the desire to stay involved in their teenagers' lives?
Gosh, that is just everything, isn't it? The whole thing in the book that I really want to stress to people is we're parenting for the long haul. We want connection with our kids for life, right? We love these people. We made these amazing people. Let's just stick with them, which means we have to let them go. And we have to let them go in such a way that they actually are choosing to have that relationship with us. That looks very different for my 13-year-old than it does for my 23-year-old. But along the way, we're finding places where we can let them go to be in the world, to make their own decisions, their own mistakes. We have to absolutely let them fail. And then we are there for them and with them, supporting them when those things happen. I think sometimes as parents, we feel like we have to get ahead of that, make sure they don't fail. That's not our job. Our job is to walk alongside them as they enter the world. And we are there to help them and support them. And as they move forward, we do less and less and less. We let them own more and more and more. And the more we can let them own early on, and the more we can let them make those little mistakes and they can see how we are showing up for them in those moments, then it's okay to make those small mistakes. They will invite us into their bigger mistakes and we will get to be there. We get to be the people they call when the really big stuff goes down, and we get to be the people that can walk alongside them on their whole entire journey. So it's very important for us to recognize that we are their guides by the side more and more the older they get.
Amy Betters-Midvet, the author of You'll Make It and They Will Too, Everything No One Talks About When You're Parenting Teens. Amy, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, is drinking good for your health or not? We'll have that story as InfoTrack continues.
Stick around. There's more InfoTrack straight ahead.
Right now at Wendy's, you can get a small Frosty for a buck. And literally everyone is going. The car behind you, going to get a dollar Frosty. The car ahead of you, already had one, going for a second. The person who cut you off earlier, you guessed it, dollar Frosty. Maybe it's all a sign for you to go get one. Just don't cut anyone off. No one likes that person. The iconic Frosty for a buck, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Not valid in a combo. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, California, and via third-party delivery.
Ugh, kitchen ants, runaway roaches, a spider!
Relax, just use Evo. Evo bug sprays use essential oils to eliminate those pests and up to 20 household insects. Plus, Evo is safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Just spritz the bugs and wipe them away. Evo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Joey, let's get some drive-thru.
Yeah, bro.
Food.
I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car, sir.
Joey, let's get some drive-thru, man.
Let's order delivery instead.
If you feel different, you drive different, and driving high is a DUI. If you think no one can tell you're high, think again. Your friends, family, and especially law enforcement can see right through it. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high and get a DUI. Brought to you by NHTSA.
InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
There's been much research into the possible health benefits as well as harmful effects of alcohol consumption. But many of the studies may be flawed. With more, here's InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Tim Stockwell, a scientist with the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research at the University of Victoria. He is the lead researcher on the analysis of claims that moderate alcohol use could be good for you. Dr. Stockwell, earlier studies suggested that moderate drinkers live longer and have a lower risk of heart disease and other chronic conditions. Is any of that true, or is every claim I mentioned false?
As the days and years go past, and I look at this harder, and other people look at this harder, this lovely idea seems to evaporate. further and further. There may be a tiny little droplet of truth still, but there are so many criticisms now launched at this idea and so many reasons to be skeptical. And I'm sure we will dive into one or two of those.
Yes, let's do that. Now, your analysis basically indicates that results from those previous studies were skewed in favor of light to moderate drinking, and perhaps those studied were not categorized in a meaningful way, particularly the abstainer group. Please explain that.
Yes, what we're talking about are the studies that interview often tens of thousands of people at one point in time and then follow them up over 5, 10, 15, even 20 plus years to find out what kind of illnesses they get or what they die from eventually, trying to link those risks to their habits, to their smoking, their drinking, their diet, their exercise, and on, many, many factors. With alcohol, there's often only just a little bit of space to look at that, and hardly any studies take account, well, a very small number of studies take account of whether people currently abstaining are actually people who've given up alcohol because they're unwell. And because of that, you get this unhealthy group of abstainers who make all the people who are able to continue drinking look incredibly healthy. But it's not because they're drinking, it's the drinking is a sign of good health rather than a cause of it.
So some people in the previous studies labeled as abstainers or occasional drinkers had earlier in life been using more alcohol, and this was not taken into consideration.
Yes, in most studies. Some studies they have, but mostly they haven't. And this issue has been around for a while, and people have known about it and tried to take some small steps to make things better. But in our analysis, we take a much more critical view and say they have to go a lot further than what's done. So, for example, if even people who were formerly light drinkers but then have stopped completely, a good proportion of those, the fact that they've stopped completely now, even though they were light drinkers, it's because they've become unwell. And so there's still bias. It's not because these very heavy people with alcoholism or whatever have stopped. It's anyone who drank at all has completely stopped. A lot of people doing that is because they're unwell and they've got lots of risk factors for a lot of nasty illnesses.
Now, previous research, as you know, indicated that those who were moderate drinkers had a 14% lower risk of dying during the study period compared to the abstainers. But there is a report saying that the alcohol industry paid, either directly or indirectly, for over 13,000 research studies showing these allegedly healthy effects of drinking. Is it true that the industry funded a great deal of these studies?
Absolutely. Some of the well-known proponents in my field, there's a guy who received a lot of money from the beer industry. There was research groups in California that took a lot of money from the wine industry. And it's a phenomenon worldwide that the industry attempt to influence the whole debate and the whole narrative about alcohol to tilt it in their favor. And it's been a godsend for them, studies appearing to show that alcohol is good for you. There's been a lot of them. And they are trying to encourage scientists in lots of ways to carry on with their work and give them more money.
We're visiting with Dr. Tim Stockwell, a scientist with the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research at the University of Victoria. Their analysis on whether alcohol can extend your life is published in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs. Well, let's take one example, the so-called French paradox, the notion that red wine helps the French people enjoy a relatively low rate of heart disease despite them eating a rich, fatty diet. Could that be an exception to your findings?
No, the French paradox was part of what caused this idea to explode, first in the USA and then globally. A 60 Minutes documentary program aired in 1991 presented the French paradox. They were industry-funded researchers. The French paradox is linked with the idea of the Mediterranean diet associated with lower risks of heart disease. And it's an association. So people eating more fruit and vegetables, who are using particular kind of oils, olive oil, using alcohol lightly and moderately in a daily pattern, you compare those with Northern Europeans who are binge drinking, eat fish and chips and meat pies. I mean, I know that diet very well. They fare better than those, but the extent to which that's due to ethanol in their wine or anything else in the wine is disputed. Wine drinkers usually do better than beer and spirit drinkers, not because of the wine, but people who drink wine tend to be better off. They tend to jog. They tend to eat avocados and kale. You know, they have memberships of gyms. They have better health care. Their teeth are better because they have better dental care. There's a whole range of reasons why wine drinkers live longer, and it's unlikely anything to do with the wine.
So big picture here, some of our listeners, and I think you know this, some of our listeners might be thinking, geez, they want to take away all our fun. You can't smoke and now you can't drink. What would you say to those people?
I'd say totally sympathize. I love a drink. And really all I'm interested in most of my colleagues is getting the science right, because I think, don't we consumers want to know the truth? And then we can make our own choices. So we're not talking about massive risks. It's a shift from thinking, oh, this alcohol is doing me good, to actually, well, actually, there's a tiny risk. So we just have to do that little shift. Doesn't mean to say you can't do it. I want to be informed. I want to know the truth on this. And I'm sure most of your listeners do as well.
So is there a safe level of drinking?
Current thinking is no. At tiny amounts, it's a tiny risk. To put that in perspective, drinking one drink a day for your life, the current estimate for the group I work with is that that might shave for the average person about 3 months off your life expectancy. So over, if you're lucky, you know, 85 years, 3 months, that's the scale of it. You could be unlucky and die tomorrow, or you might live to 125, but at the average, impact on life expectancy will be about 3 months. And at that level, one drink has the same mortality risk as one tobacco cigarette.
Fascinating context. Dr. Tim Stockwell at the University of Victoria in Canada, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Ugh, kitchen ants, runaway roaches, a spider, a spider, a spider!
Relax, just use Zevo. Zevo bug sprays use essential oils to eliminate those pests and up to 20 household insects. Plus, Zevo is safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Just spritz the bugs and wipe them away. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Getting behind the wheel after drinking could change your world. Bobby here had a great time at the party and thought he was good to drive home. Now, Bobby's facing jail time, an upset wife, disappointed parents, and up to a $10,000 fine. It only takes one bad decision to change your world forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Learn more at NHTSA.gov. That's NHTSA.gov. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com.
Our next guest, Michael Isom, is co-author of a book with a provocative title, What Would the Rockefellers Do? How the Wealthy Get and Stay That Way? And How You Can Too. Well, there are already a boatload of wealth-building books out there. What's different about your book?
Garrett Gunderson and I became original business partners in the summer of 2000, and the two of us met two other gentlemen, Ray Hooper and Les McGuire, and we started practicing together the fall of 2000. And at that time, we bought into a sixth share of a turboprop airplane. And June 8th of 2006, Ray and Les hit a microburst cloud that threw them 1,000 feet up and straight into the lake, and it killed them instantly.
Wow.
I got the first phone call. I called both of their wives and told them what had happened. Both Ray and Les's wives were both pregnant at the time of the plane crash. And Garrett and I lived through them dying, the estate plan kicking into gear. You know, we did this for and continue to do this for a living, but to actually live this out with our original business partners is what really started Garrett and I on this path of being even more deliberate in our own lives and what we communicate with our clients. And it's that of the legacy planning side of things. It's not a matter of if, but when we're going to die. And it's empowering for families to have this legacy plan in place, to be able to think beyond themselves to their kids, to their grandkids, but leave that benefit for future generations.
Michael, what are some common mistakes that wealthy families make which lead to a loss of their fortune?
Some of the common mistakes, number one, they don't put together any sort of an estate plan. And if they do, their current estate plan says that their kids have three chances to lose the money. And then they joke about that with their attorney jokes about that with them, where when the kids get to the age of 25, they get a third of the estate. At age 30, they get another third. And at age 35, they get the remaining third of the estate. And I think that is a detriment to families to not set it up to have it stay in the trust and be able to use for certain things according to the family's value. So not setting up proper estate planning is one big thing.
How do the ultra wealthy educate their kids about money and being responsible? They obviously must do that. What's that all about?
Yeah, while they're alive, they do it in their actions. They do it in the examples that they set. They're deliberate about holding family retreats and gathering their family together. They have a family office. They have a family constitution that they write and put the values and the missions and the principles that they live by as a family.
How significant are real estate investments in the portfolios of the rich, and what kind of properties would they focus on typically?
Yeah, Garrett and I often talk about it's not as much about the investment as it is the investor. And so we have wealthy clients that have a lot of real estate, but that's because they have an expertise in that area of real estate. So real estate could be a gamble for a family, or it could be a true investment for a family, depending on their investor DNA or what I call their human life value, if they have control and knowledge and expertise in that area. So really that question is answered on the family and if they have an interest in being an expert in that area. Most of the families we work with do have some real estate, but they focus on their business as being their number one investment.
Now, the title of your book mentions the Rockefellers, but there are other wealthy families I think you mentioned in the book. Can you share some of those? I think I saw the Walt Disney family and there were several others.
Yeah, there's numerous wealthy families throughout history that continue to have a legacy plan in place. And I'll just give you the example for my wife and I. We didn't come from money, and we have an estate plan to where there's going to be money that's passed on to our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids that preserves the capital and the family trust, and then they can work with interest and dividends off of that to continue to perpetuate the family legacy. You know, and our estate isn't like some of the billionaires out there today, but the size that we have, it empowers us, you know, today to where we're at.
Well, the book again is What Would the Rockefellers Do? How the Wealthy Get and Stay That Way, and How You Can Too. Michael Isom is the co-author. Michael, we want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Chris. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this week's show. Our internet services are provided by Pear Networks, the home of world-class web hosting. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Stay kids as long as they can. Turn off the screen, go climb a tree, get dirt on their hands. I believe we gotta forgive and make amends, 'cause nobody gets a second chance to make new old friends. I believe in working hard for what you've got. it don't add up to a hell of a lot. I believe most people are good and most mamas ought to qualify for sainthood. I believe most Friday nights look better under neon or stadium lights. I believe you love who you love, ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of. I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I believe most people are good. I believe them streets of gold are worth the work, but I'd still want to go even if they were paved in dirt. I believe that youth is spent well on the young, 'cause wisdom in your teens would be a lot less fun. I believe if you just go by the nightly news, your faith in all mankind would be the first thing you lose. I believe most people are good and most mamas ought to qualify for sainthood. I believe most Friday nights look better under neon or stadium lights. I believe you love who you love, ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of. I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I believe most people are good. Mamas ought to qualify for sainthood. I believe most Friday nights look better under neon or stadium lights. I believe you love who you love, ain't nothing you should ever be ashamed of. I believe this world ain't half as bad as it looks. I believe most people are good. I believe most people are good. I believe most people are good.
Country Legends 24/7, 105.5 FM.
Thank you. 105.5 FM.
I didn't want to see, they brought back memories. You look happy, I guess, got the life that you wanted, but it ain't with me. You would think by now that I wouldn't care. It's been a couple years and yeah, I've had my share of other broken parts, but I only shed real tears over ours. Like I'm happier now, but all of my friends know that ain't the truth. And lately life's been good to me. Mama's healthy and I'm helping out the whole family. A lot of people know my name, I made a little change. That don't mean nothing, 'cause now I'm in this cold bright light, and this don't even feel like life.
Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7. W-I-R.